Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're gonna play on and stand strong with Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Pump up the volume. It's time to play ball. Jolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
Here we go. Championship rounds of Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. As other radio shows take the day off because they're lazy, we come in for you, the people. We know some of you are still out there grinding. Not everyone gets off President's Day weekend, so we're here for you. Jolo and Dibs in the flesh, producing content on 95.7 The Game. Great to have you with us. Thank you for your time, as always. A lot to get to. First thing, out of the gate, the Dream Job Contest is officially on. It's launched. It's ready to go. We were telling you all about it last week, here are the details. We are accepting video submissions online at 957thegame.com. That's also where you can go to get all the details on the contest, 957thegame.com. Your video, if you want a chance to win a job working here with us on air, should be 1 minute long. Don't go longer. Show that you understand how to follow rules. 1 minute long, no longer. Give us your best rant. Pick a sports topic, whatever it may be. You can rant, you can go hot take, you can go comedy, whatever you think will get through and convey your talent the best, you go with that. One important note, no music can be included in the video. Any videos with music are going to be disqualified. It's a legal thing, so no music in the videos. We are then going to select the best 16 videos and have those people compete against each other at our live event Saturday, March 7th. For full details, again, visit 957thegame.com. Very exciting time. Submissions are open. Guru was just in here ranting and raving, not about the contest, but about a basketball game. Ooh. Random game. Going hot. But that's a guy who's living proof that dreams do come true.
Yes, and I know that at 12:01 this morning, the contest opened, and we had some difficulty with our servers because the amount of videos that are pouring in for this contest, it's impressive. It's awe-inspiring. Yeah, we need more bandwidth. And we need it now. I'm giving it all she's got, Captain, as Lowe famously once said. So send in your videos. I cannot wait to see the high quality in that top 16. And then it's on. It's on, like you say, Azerbaijan.
The former Soviet Republic of Azerbaijan.
And it's going to be fun to see who wins this dream job and gets to join us on the best radio staff in the business.
All right. As always, Chilton Auto Body text lines open for business at 95795. Today's show brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. What do we think of the All-Star game last night? New format, Team LeBron defeats Team Giannis 157-155. For those who are still a bit confused or maybe didn't see it, here's how it worked. The first three quarters were 12 minutes long with $100,000 going to the winner of each quarter. Team LeBron won quarter one, that 100 grand went to their charity. Team Giannis won quarter two, that 100 grand went to their charity. Quarter three was a tie, so the money rolled over to the fourth. And then entering the fourth, they added up the scores. And what you had was Team Giannis ahead by, what'd you say, Dibs, 9?
9 points, yep.
And what they said going into the fourth was there was going to be no clock. They were going to aim for a target score, which was 24 points in honor of Kobe Bryant, 24 points from the team that was leading. So Team Giannis had 133 points entering the fourth quarter. Add 24 to that, you get 157. That was the target score. First to 157 wins. Played some defense. I got some stats that'll show you what happened in the fourth versus the first three quarters. Big man, I'll start with you. What'd you think about the new format last night?
I thought it was exciting. I thought you saw both these teams go at it, especially Joe, when you're talking about the fourth quarter. You saw the physicality of the game. I mean, they all wanted to win. You're watching highlights. You see LeBron and AD taking them to school. You saw, Harden trying to get the three. He gets called for charging. I thought the freaking game was exciting. They're lighting it up. Giannis, you see him slap LeBron. Pin his little layup. He thinks he's going to get that little layup, go to the rack. Giannis pins it up there. Kind of that what LeBron did to Iggy that I know we don't like to talk about with the Warriors. Remember he pinned that
up there? Yeah, you went right to it. of all the block shots that have happened in the history of the association.
Big blocks that was certain.
Hakeem Olajuwon had a few blocks back in his day. Just
Dikembe Mutombo? No. That would have worked.
No.
That would have worked.
But you enjoyed the event.
Yeah, I did. Before Dibs derailed me.
I'm sorry for the derail, but I was speaking on behalf of all Warrior fans, saying basically, knock it off.
What did you think of that last night? I got to ask, as competitive as it was down the stretch, and I got some numbers I'll throw your way to show that, the fact that it ended on a free throw. Anthony Davis had two free throws. They were 1 point away. He missed the first, made the second. Game was over. Ending on a free throw. That's never happened in streetball
before. It's anticlimactic for sure. It's kind of like when you have a classic Super Bowl and it's going back and forth and then the game ends when there's a minute and a half left, but the team with the lead gets the ball and they kneel down three straight times. It's still a good game. It's still a quality win, but you want to have the Super Bowl end on a climactic play, not an anticlimactic play, which is what the kneel down was. So the fact that it happened with a free throw, it was a little bit of a letdown, but it was also kind of exciting that he missed the first one. He had two. He only needed to make one. He's an 85% free throw shooter. You were pretty certain that he would have made one of the two. But there's no real way to avoid having it end that way if you want to have an untimed game.
One easy way to solve that issue, if they want to continue with this moving forward, and it seems like the reviews are out and people enjoyed it, so I'd imagine that this might be in play again for next year, would be if there's a foul in the final, say, 2 to 3 minutes, whatever it may be as you get down to the end, instead of giving the team that was fouled an opportunity to shoot a free throw to score a point, take a point away from the team committing the foul. That way, the game doesn't end on a free throw. That way, you still need to knock down a bucket. So it just works in reverse. Fouls lead to you losing a point rather than the other team getting a point. Maybe the guy has to step up to the line, and if he makes it, it takes the point away. And if he misses it, the point stays for the other team. But overall, I enjoyed it. I mean, take a listen to this. More fouls in the fourth quarter, 21, than the first three quarters combined, 14. They were D'ing up. They were calling timeout, too, at the end of the third quarter. You saw both coaches were trying to dial up plays to win that $100,000. There were three offensive fouls called in the fourth quarter. There were zero offensive fouls in the first three quarters. Twice as many free throw attempts in the fourth quarter, 26, as in the first three quarters, 13. No fast break points in the fourth quarter at all. There were 50 fast break points in the first three quarters. Three dunks in the fourth quarter, 48 dunks in the first three quarters. When they wanted to play defense, they could. And it was good defense. They were hustling out there. Trae Young with some key alley-oops. I love it that the starters got the chance to finish off the game. Kawhi Leonard ends up winning the MVP, which is now named as the Kobe Bryant MVP award. All the way around, I thought that was a win. I know it was some confusing for some people to figure it out, but what you wanted to see was some competition, and you got competition.
Yeah, the one number that you threw out that just floored me was three dunks versus 48 dunks, because that speaks to the competitive nature. And one of those three dunks was LeBron. I think the final basket that his team scored is they needed a three to win it. He broke through the defense and went straight down the lane and hammered it home. But it was really good competitive basketball. I wonder about the takeaway a point thing as it pertains to the point spread. And also the in-game wagering. How would that have worked last night where in the fourth quarter there's no more clock? So I know the over-under ended up at 307.5, and so the game went slightly over, but I wonder how the gambling aspect would have been affected if you took away a point and stuff like that.
They had a spread, and you had to kind of do your own math throughout, because they didn't do a great job of saying, you know, when you got to the second quarter, they gave you the second quarter score, but they weren't giving you another box to show you what the aggregate was throughout. And I think everyone was working their way through. Personally, I didn't check. I don't know if there was in-game wagering. I'd imagine there may have been late. I think there was definitely in-game wagering with the total. I'm almost certain of that because that's going to be the total no matter what. Like, you know, that's what you're going to have. But ultimately, you'd have to try to figure that out. Guys, you know, completely new format. So you have to figure out exactly how you'd approach it, what the modelers would say as they put all their data together. Because I was trying to figure out if there's a scenario in which you could not be in it in the fourth quarter, right? Like, say Team LeBron had boated Team Giannis through the first three quarters. They win by 10, 10, and 10 in each quarter. They're up 30 going into the final quarter. So they're up 30, and then the target score is going to be 24 points on top of that 30. So you got to get 24 points. They would need 54 points to beat you. Like, by that point, the game could be over. So I thought about that. That could be one thing that derails it if one team is just shellacking the other team as you get to the fourth. But overall, that's stuff that can be worked on. This used to be a great game in my opinion. I think late 90s, early 2000s, I enjoyed the game because you had the first half, which was all about guys unveiling their tricks. Like Shaq would play point guard. He would have his little crossover and he'd go to the rack. Everyone had their dunk, Tracy McGrady, stuff like that. And then the second half, they'd play defense and the game would be on. Something got lost along the way where it just became jogging up and down the court, guys with easy dunks. Like Giannis dunking with no one around him, it's not that exciting. I know people do the, but it wasn't all that, it wasn't that great. You know, I like it. When they were out there competing. I mean, you got 10 elite level players out there. That was something, man.
And it was exciting. And you see and I think they've done a great job of just having the youth Dibs involved. You see the kids, all kinds of different nationalities on the floor. They're cheering. It's exciting. And I think the NBA is trying to say, man, we want to make sure we get our young viewers, our young audience watching this stuff. You see the cameras out, the flashing. You see Spike Lee on the sideline doing the charging against James Harden. Oh, acting like he's officiating. You see all these things going on. And it was actually good for basketball. Basketball put an exciting product on the court. You got an exciting game, an all-star game. I thought that this was one of the better all-star just weekends in general.
Quietly, my favorite point in the entire night was James Harden being legislated out of that game. If you notice late, he picked up an offensive foul, and he tried a couple times to get those classic Harden ticky-tack fouls, and the refs weren't giving it to him. And he was getting frustrated. And then at the end of the game, before Davis hit the free throw to win it, Harden had an open look at the basket and didn't take it. He didn't want the game-winning shot. So I'm wondering if there was something in play where they said, you know, LeBron's going to win it or Anthony Davis, whatever it may be, a Laker's going to win it. Or if Harden, who had missed a big shot earlier, like a few minutes before that, just decided he didn't want the pressure on him for losing that game. But it was great because that type of game did not play to Harden style. And that's exactly what a lot of people want to see. They want that crap out of there.
Put it this way, Joe. It's sort of like when we were sitting there on media row and you have those two legend quarterbacks that's right there.
Sims and Boomer Esiason when they joined us?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Think about it. It's you, Joe Buck, and it's, you know, Tony Romo, and all you guys are right there. And it's like, okay, do I want to take over? And so you got to, when you have so many dominant personalities, like you're talking about all 10 all-stars, sometimes you're like, I know I'm good. These guys are pretty good too.
You learn the hierarchy.
And you start saying, okay, I don't want to do this. On my team, when it's all me, I get to certain times, certain things that be around a lot of people in certain environments, and I'm not the biggest fish in the pool there. You start sometimes like, I'll pass. So I think that's what Harden got.
It's a good analogy too, because when Sims and Boomer came over, it was the three of us, and it was Boomer and Phil Sims, and those two were dominant all-stars. Yeah. It's like, and especially for me, it's different for you because you're on their level. You played 16 years. For me, it's like, what am I going to offer up at this point that's going to trump or be better than their little buddy comedy they had going back and forth? And I'm looking at Joe and I'm looking at you, and all three of us were thinking the same thing.
Like, yes.
You know?
For what? For who?
Exactly.
It was like, reason to get involved, man. They were awesome.
They were dominating.
They were carrying the show, and you just sit back, and it's when there's an opportunity.
Yep.
Steer it where it needs to go. Ask a question if need be. But other than that, what you don't need to be heard from.
And
speaking of which, real quick, Carlos Correa, you don't need to hear from him either, but he's still talking.
Still
talking. Here's the quote from this morning. Lord. As the media continues to ask him about the Astros scandal, honestly, guys, I'm done talking about the offseason and what happened. For me, it's time to talk about the upcoming season. Little Larry Bearish right there.
Yeah.
With the whole, situation's been resolved. Nothing to talk about here. We're done. We're moving forward. Yeah, that's not how that works,
no.
Carlos. That's not how that works. When you guys continue to say stupid things about stealing a World Series and cheating your way through 3 years of baseball, people are going to have questions. None of you got punished. This is a de facto punishment. It doesn't fit the crime, but this is what you're going to have to deal with, buddy.
Right, and you don't get to decide when people's curiosity gets to end. And if you are curious about what exactly happened, the best way to put it to bed is by being completely transparent. We've said the Andy Pettit analogy time and time again, but Andy Pettit isn't dogged by allegations anymore because he came out, he admitted wrongdoing, he told you what he did, he apologized, and people were okay with that. People were able to accept his apology at that level. What's going on? And the commissioner's not doing them any favors by continuing to kind of dodge questions. And he's not being totally transparent. Houston's not being transparent. You don't get to say, Carlos, when our curiosity stops.
I love this. I love this. I said it this morning. I'll say it again. Every time someone who's either the commissioner or attached to the Astros opens their mouth, they make the situation worse. Literally. literally not one person has said anything that has made this better. The owner gets out in front and starts the charade. And it's just one idiotic, uninformed, ridiculous comment after another. They keep giving you headlines. They don't even realize this. No one is in there advising these. These guys truly don't believe they did anything wrong. I think they're convinced that baseball was cheating. They were one of the cheaters, and they just happened to be the ones that got caught, and that it's unfair that they have to deal with this. This is what they come across as to me. Everyone was doing it. Why are we the ones paying the price for this?
Right, and until you can show us that everyone else was doing it at the same level that you were, then you're going to be the ones who are scapegoated. And ultimately, if you're a player, especially Jose Altuve, a guy who's on a Hall of Fame trajectory, wouldn't you want to clear your name? If you were totally innocent, you would come out with unbelievable vehemence to try and denounce these claims because you wouldn't want your reputation to be sullied, but you're not seeing that.
No.
Let me ask you something. If you found out that the Rams in that Super Bowl, that they widespread cheating.
Marshall Faulk, to this day.
He thinks the Patriots cheated.
Without a doubt. He's just like.
What do they think happened in that game where Brady beat Warner?
Yeah, they thought that they knew all the plays. He goes, oh my God, they knew every play. They thought they filmed stuff. It was something.
Filming the practice sessions.
Filming the practice sessions. You talk to those guys. You talk to even Warner, talk to the quarterback, talk to all of them, really get behind closed doors. A lot of people think there were some fishy things going on with that particular Super Bowl.
What if you were on that team or you found out the Rams did something like that to you? How would you feel? Like, how would you go about the rest of your life? You hear the Dodgers. I'll play Cody Bellinger's comments in just a moment. But guys that are speaking out on this are furious.
I think baseball, Joe, is just it's a lot different because you know what's coming. Okay, here's this pitch. And you know, muscle memory is unbelievable. I could tell a guy here. We're running lead draw, and we're coming downhill, and I can point and say, here I come. Stop me. And it's a totally different mindset. Football is a totally different mindset. Now, it does help if you know all the plays and you know what the calls are because now you got all 11 guys going to it. But certain things in football, it's harder to cheat. It's harder to get by because you still got – the athletic ability of other guys, can everyone get in their place, do the right thing at all times? When you're talking about pitching and hitting, you're talking about a one-on-one battle that a guy can say, this is what's coming. I know what's coming. Like we talked about, you know, a guy that we revered, talking about Chapman, when he throws that heat, people usually couldn't keep up with it. But now he's throwing an off pitch, and he knows the line that it's at. He knows he's not swinging the bat, getting out in front of it because it's still slow. He's got time. It's totally different than, I think, football. But, yeah, you still be remorse because of the fact you know they know your plays. They're ahead of you. They're ahead of you. They know the coverages and doing certain things. I think it pays off big. It's no different when we saw the Super Bowl. Was it 2003, Dibs, where – The Raiders
and the Bucs
and Gruden.
Yeah, 03.
And Gruden said, hey, this is what they're doing. Gruden actually went out and played quarterback and talked about the checks. This is what they're saying. And the guys jumped on all the routes. John Lynch said it was like taking candy from a baby because they knew the calls, they knew the plays. The game was a motorboating. So when you tell me that it doesn't work when you know the plays and know the calls and you can jump and drop into the zones because the quarterback doesn't know you know it and now he's going back and throwing to a spot and your guy's already ahead of it, it's hard to win.
But you're right, though. It still comes down to the execution, and you're talking about 22 guys all moving in full speed. So even if the defense knows the play, the quarterback can see that they know it and he can do something else. If the pitcher makes a call, he's going to throw that pitch. And if
right.
The hitter knows what it is, there's no other variable other than, is he going to miss it? If he knows what's coming, the likelihood that he hits it's much higher.
Here's Cody Bellinger on the Dodgers. He spoke out this weekend.
I thought Manfred's punishment was weak, giving him immunity. I mean, these guys were cheating for 3 years. I think what people don't realize is Altuve stole an MVP from Judge in 17. Everyone knows they stole the ring from us. I know personally I lost respect for those guys. I think I would say everyone in the show, in the big leagues, lost respect for those guys. I don't know what human hits a walk-off home run against Aroldis Chapman to send your team to the World Series. And one has the thought to say, don't rip my jersey off. But two, go in the tunnel, change your shirt, and then come out and do your interview. Like, that makes no sense to me. makes zero sense to me. Because I know me. Gary Sanchez said yesterday, you can rip my shirt off, my pants off. I set my team the World Series off for Aldis Chapman in the ninth inning at home. You can do, you know, I'm going crazy.
Haven't played this one for you today, and that was, by the way, Cody Bellinger, outfielder, first baseman for the Los Angeles Dodgers, speaking out on the Astros. Rob Manfred spoke over the weekend, too, and the commissioner just sounded awful. He sounded out of touch. He sounded absolutely awful. Players continue to call him out. Someone dug this up from 2017. This is Manfred on the Dan Lebatard show. Lebatard from ESPN, based out of Miami. They wanted to have him on to talk about what Jeter and the Marlins did, how they came in, bought the team, and then immediately gutted it. Take a listen.
On here and saying that you weren't aware of Jeter's plan to trade players and slash payroll? Like, we're starting with a lie, Rob. Like, that's where we're starting. Like, you can't tell me you're not aware of that.
And have you call me a liar. I explained to you that we do not get involved in operating level decisions in the ownership process, the ownership approval process. Clubs make those local decisions.
Rob, were you aware of his plan, though? Were you aware of it?
No. We did not have player-specific plans from the Miami Marlins or any other team
plan
we approve in the ownership process. Those are decisions that the individual owners make.
Wow. Lebatard calling him a liar back then, and then seeing and listening to Manfred over the weekend. Text line, Chilton Auto Body 95795 makes a great point. This is a 405. The fact that Flaccid Rob gave out immunity and then didn't actually get all the information is the biggest issue I have. Exactly. The whole point of immunity is they've got to tell you everything. You ever see the end of The Shield when Vic Mackey got his immunity deal and copped to everything? And everybody was so horrified that after years of that show, he came out and told them exactly what he had done. And he got his immunity deal and pretty much sold his whole team down the river. Great series. I kind of just gave away the end of the whole thing. But
Rick Tauss and Murray, remember, he said, I got diplomatic immunity. And
immunity.
Yeah, and he's
from South Africa.
What happened, though, at the end? He said, all right, you got that? Boom! Dropped him right there like a
drop the mic, he's hot.
Phone lines are pumping. We didn't even give out the number.
Pump them, guys.
Steve, Jimmy, everybody else, 888-957-9570. Hang tight if you want to get in on this Astro scandal, all the comments. We'd love to hear from you. 888-957-9570. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by your local Mercedes-Benz dealers. Your calls, more on the Astro scandal. How should the A's handle that first road game of the season? Do you want to see the A's throwing at them, or do you want to see the A's sending a different message? One that they won't stoop to that level. 888-957-9570. 3 rows, up to 7 seats, and room for much more. Introducing the first ever Mercedes-Benz GLB, a stylish SUV with an MBUX system, MBUX system. Ooh, that sounds classy. An optional third row and a starting MSRP of $36,600. Go to MBUSA.com or visit your Bay Area Mercedes-Benz dealers to schedule your test drive today.
Now back to Joe, Low, and Dibs.
I promise you, Dibbers, tell him.
On 95.7, The Game.
That's going to be a prop.
Yeah.
Will there be a teabagging in the Low versus Dibs disgrace at Chase Wednesday, February 26th. Are you going to go for a teabag?
Probably not. I don't necessarily think that that's my best route to victory. And ultimately, for me, the humiliation for Low comes in the defeat. It's not about my parts and the grilled cheese.
That's,
thank you. That's not. I was going to be more graphic, but kids are listening today because it is a holiday, and happy President's Day to all of you from all of us. But and Happy New Year, of course.
Yeah, Happy New Year.
In case we haven't spoken, but the humiliation comes from the loss. Anything else that happens on the side to that, that's just all gravy. It's icing on the cake.
If you're trying to back him down and he falls down, and you see him down there and he's not quick to get up, are you thinking about maybe going up over the top for the tea bag on your way to the rack?
Yeah. Absolutely. If he falls down like that, definitely jump over him and go right to the hole.
when I fall down, the foul will be called, and that's fine.
And I'll help him up afterwards.
All right, let's go to the phones. A lot of people want to weigh in on this Astros scandal. Rob Manfred's comments over the weekend. Cody Bellinger speaking out. It's getting worse. If you notice, every time someone speaks, they say something stupider than what the previous guy said. And it just creates a whole new storyline. So that's where we're at. Apparently, Altuve went in and met with the media today. Didn't meet with them, but he went to his locker, took off his shirt in front of all the reporters that were there, gave him a good long look at the goods and then put his shirt back on top and walked out to show that he does, in fact, have a tattoo on the collarbone. I guess they're innocent, is what that's supposed to mean. Thank you, Jose Altuve. Jimmy in Walnut Creek. Jimmy, thank you for the phone call and welcome to the show. Your thoughts on the scandal?
Hey, I love your show, guys. Hey, the one I'm curious about, kind of bothers me, is the owner, Crane. How is he not getting nailed for like a 2-year suspension? The owners know everything. And not to mention when the league knew it and they were complaining to Manfred, he had to be filled in then. How come he didn't put a stop to it in 2017? I'll take my answer off the air, but how is the owner? He jumped to the quick conclusion of, let me fire the manager, let me fire the GM. How is the league not going after him and suspending him from not going to the ballpark for like 2 years? $5 million pocket change to him. Take care, guys.
Yeah, Jimmy, if you're still there, if we give you your answer off the air, how are we going to give you the answer? Oh, Jimmy's gone. Jimmy,
you got no answer. Do you want to drive to his house or...
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Walnut Creek, so maybe I'll be heading out there. Shout out the Stadium Pub. Meet me at the Stadium Pub, Jimmy. I'll give you the answer off the air at the stadium.
The answer is probably something along these lines. Manfred is the commissioner, works for the owners. It's like Goodell. Like, what is Goodell going to do to Robert Kraft? What would Roger Goodell really be able to do to Jerry Jones? The answer is very little. If anything, Jerry's going to sit Roger down if Jerry commits some heinous crime. And he's like, Roger, here's how it's going to play out. You have to hand out a punishment. I understand that. But I'm going to tell you what the punishment is, and we're going to go forward amicably. You like that 40-plus million you're making? You like the use of the private jet and all the suites and all the perks that come with this? All right. So we're in agreement. Thanks. I'll see you later. And that's that. And this is Manfred. Manfred handed down what he could, but ultimately he's working for Jim Crane, and he's not going to tell Jim Crane anything. Jim Crane's going to tell him what to do.
And that's why he ultimately went the route of immunity to try to get to the bottom of it, hoping that he could put this whole thing under the rug. Because really, if they went about it in a real investigative fashion and they found out whatever they could find out, and Mike Fiers is a reason why a lot of this even got exposed in the first place, but... You mentioned it earlier, the union, the baseball union for the players is one of the most powerful unions in the country. So even if...
Like the Teamsters.
Yeah, even if he went the other way and he didn't give players immunity and he still found out the way that the cheating took place and then he tried to take action against the players, the union would rush in and defend the players and we wouldn't have any more information than we have now. The punishments wouldn't be any more severe. They'd probably be less severe.
The immunity thing, you got to wonder if Manfred regrets that. Because what did he really get out of it? He got some stuff, but it still feels like the Astros are out there. They got immunity. They said whatever they said, and now they're out there telling everyone they didn't do anything wrong. They didn't cheat. The report says 2017. It's not any of the other years. We weren't wearing buzzers. It's all this. It's like, man, that's not how that works. Like, Sammy the Bull got immunity, and he moved to Arizona, but that doesn't mean he's out there running his mouth talking about everything else, even though I think he did that once or twice and was a big part of that ecstasy ring that took place at one point.
Oh.
Sammy the Bull didn't really retire, so to speak.
Did he, you think Manfred has the ability to say, you know what, I'm stripping this year? Could he? Do you just one man have that much of power like you
to
said,
strip him of the World Series,
right? That's
wow.
See, and that's what I know.
Yeah, does he have that power?
And that's what
it's called, the commissioner's trophy,
right? But that's why Dibs, I know you were saying, oh, he's got to do more and do these things, and I totally understand where everyone's heart is and everyone understands, God, why couldn't you do that? Why could you not strip them and take this year away and use it as a black mark? I understand that. But does he have that much power? And did he give immunity because they said, if you do this, we're going to let this out and that out? Did he? Was he in a situation that he said, man, I got to fall on the sword? Did he do the best thing for baseball? A sports that's dying and all the things that are surrounding baseball, what other ramifications could he have given to, that you think that appeased the people? Because if they said, hey, if you do this, we're going to tell you with this, this, and another, what would it have done for baseball?
Let me ask you this. In any other sport, if you're caught cheating when you win, what happens? Ben Johnson, when he won the 100 meters at the Olympics.
Took it.
Stripped. Any UFC fighter or any boxer, if they go out and they win a fight, but then they're deemed to have taken drugs or have done something to cheat afterwards in violation of the rules, they're stripped of the title and stripped of the win, right?
Louisville basketball with the sex scandal with Coach Rick Pitino reportedly having sexual activity with women in a restaurant. On the table,
like
in the booth.
Assistant coach's wife or something
like that?
It was
all kinds of stuff.
God, Pitino.
What happened to that title? Stripped. They had to give up 146 wins. They had to give up the national championship in 2013. It was stripped. Fresno State basketball. Jerry Tarkanian. Stripped. So if you go through all these instances, it's happened in the past. And to your point about the commissioner's power, They had the power to ban Pete Rose from baseball. Certainly, the commissioner had that power.
It's one guy.
Yeah, but he had that power. And he has the power to strip this title from the Houston Astros, but he chose not to do it because he didn't want to establish precedent.
Here's the commissioner when asked over the weekend about the idea of taking back the trophy.
The idea of, you know, an asterisk or asking for a piece of metal back seems, you know, sort of a futile act. People are always know that there was something about the 2017 World Series that was different, and they're going to know that because whether we made every decision right or wrong, we undertook a really thorough investigation, and we had the intestinal fortitude to put out there the facts we found, even though they weren't very pretty.
The intestinal fortitude.
You know what shows intestinal fortitude? Stripping a title.
Yeah, that there shows, you go.
And it's more than a piece of metal, and it's more than...
That really rubbed people the wrong way. Really rubbed people the wrong way. A lot of baseball players feel that this guy just doesn't know the sport. Like, he's an executive that was put in charge of a business, but he doesn't really understand the business of baseball. And to say something like that, a lot of people were off-put.
It's embarrassing. And I think that this continues to be a stain on his legacy, and you're seeing Flaccid Rob as being a terrible commissioner. And if I'm a baseball player...
That might catch on.
It's starting to catch on.
Text line's all over Flaccid Rob.
Because he's not showing any intestinal fortitude. He talks about intestinal fortitude, but to really step up and take action. And Lowe's been using the USC example, and you're right. They punished the wrong person, in my opinion. But at least they did something. They showed intestinal fortitude to step out and say, you got to give back the Heisman Trophy, and on and on. This is no intestinal fortitude being shown.
Steve in San Rafael. Steve, thank you for the phone call. Welcome to the show. Floor is yours. Fire away.
I'm not sure. I think there's a big problem here, and I'll tell you why. I think we're holding a high standard to people who don't have high standards. Okay? So in baseball, you run the bases. You get tagged out at third base. Umpire makes the wrong call. You're going to get up and say, you know what? He really got me. That would never happen. I think what Mike Fiers would have been best to do for him is maybe, you know, if he's upset and he knows what's going on there, he lets them know beforehand, hey, I know what you guys are doing. Don't do it to me, because if you do, I'm going to give you some payback with, you know, one in the ribs or whatever it is, and you let these guys kind of take care of it themselves, because there's all kinds of cheating that goes on in baseball, football, that all the players know about, and they just don't do anything about it because they know it's all kind of going around the same way. So, you know, they won the World Series in 2017. Kenley Jansen, you know, threw a fastball on the outside corner that Bregman hit into left field for a base hit, and they win 13-12. That isn't because someone was banging on a can. They banging on a can didn't make Clayton Kershaw throw curveballs or fastballs that he gives up in the playoffs. He's just not a great pitcher in the playoffs, okay? So does it help? I'm sure it does. If someone knew what pitch was coming, I'm sure it helps. But you know what? If you're the pitcher and you know that that's happening, then put one at his head and he won't be doing that, will he?
Wow, that's a good phone call. I appreciate it. Let it marinate. Let it marinate. We're up against it. I see Tom in the meta. Tom, you're going to be first of the whole group that's on the board, 888-957-9570. If you want to get in, you're going to be first when we come back. Joe Lowe and Dibs, more on the scandal here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Joe Lowe and Dibs.
Crazy, crazy, crazy.
On 95.7 The Game.
You going to call it off, Dibs? I'm going to give you a shot right now. You going to call this thing off?
Ooh, you're talking about the disgrace at Chase Wednesday, February 26th?
Just say, you know what, Lo, I got out ahead of my skis. Thank you for acknowledging I'd beat you in the free throw, that you acknowledged that you would beat me in the free throw. Why don't you just say, you know what, Lo, I was wrong, out of line. Let me back up. I'll give you a chance now. This is because after
Does he have
the day,
to say he was out of line?
Yes, you got to say I was out of line. I talked to you wrong, big fella, and I'll give you the pass, and we can move on. We can be on to Cincinnati.
John, our producer, nice guy Steven. The board op, I want you to have your finger on the dump button for my response, which is about to come. You guys ready?
Yep.
You get your finger on the dump button? You, sir, you've crossed the line now this time. I'm trying not to be profane. I'm trying not to...
Dump it!
I'm trying not to take personal shots at you, but for you to think that I would ever shy away from a challenge, sir, you don't know me at all. Not only am I not afraid of playing you in a game of one-on-one basketball. Now, if you would have given me the opportunity to get out of the Siberian slap-off, Maybe that one would be one that I would maybe try to pull the plug
Smart play right there. Vasily's looking good.
He's looking real good.
They have one of those machines over there. You know the hard hit boxing machines? In Russia, they have the slap machines.
Yeah.
Like that video game thing. Oh, so yeah, you getting out of that smart play.
No, that's a whole different conversation. But
right.
To think that I would want to shy away from playing, you're not helping me, okay? I can't wait to see all your blubber getting blown by.
Woo!
Blow by left.
It's calling you fat.
Blow by right. He is. There's no doubt. And for you to think that I would want to back away from what it's going to be, my finest hour, you don't know me at all. To think that I'm going to shy away from any challenge, the things I've done athletically, physically, they've involved an unbelievable amount of determination, work, and courage. You're nothing but a one-trick pony who's years past his prime. Yeah, you were a nice little wrestler grappling with other men, high school men, college men, and you had a decent little football career, one that I used to support your Hall of Fame candidacy. But for you to think that I'm going to want to get out of this when I'm going to humiliate you, I'm going to dominate you in front of tens of thousands on the Instagram stream, it's really offensive, Lo.
Score this one for Dibs.
You know,
came out with a jab and he threw back hook. And I'm looking at you laying on the ground trying to find your mouthpiece.
Joe,
you got your feet up. You're going to come out and try to play your
very comfortable. All due respect, Joe.
Big talker,
Betty
Crocker.
I did not come out with a slap. I did not come. I just gave him a chance to renege.
That's you came out with a little jab. You came out and you jabbed him. And he said, okay, doesn't really hurt. Here's right hook.
He went over the top.
Right, your body. And in slow mo, you saw the belly go.
That's fake grace is what that is. You always talk about being a man of the cloth and all this. It's fake grace. You're a paper tiger. Oh, yeah. I'm going to give you a chance
fake
to recant.
Grace.
Fake grace is what that is. You sit there with your feet on the counter.
You call me a
fake
paper grace tiger.
You sit there with your feet on the counter, which is so disrespectful. We're supposed to do a show here. Three colleagues working together.
Lemons,
you're
water
food
dumped in. He had all the
you're
violations.
Dumping water.
Today. I was scoring the violations today just throughout
what
the day.
Going on,
you got feet on the console.
Just, once this comes up, I love to jump on board.
We're trying to be a team here. We're trying to pull on the same rope. And just the way you present yourself in and of itself is offensive. And then you're going to run your mouth. I'm going to give you a chance, Dibs.
This is a 10-8 trash talk round. You're getting
voted right
now. I think
maybe you got over your skis.
More than 8. This is
I think,
not,
you know,
I'm out.
This all that other
Dump that. Dump that.
What happened?
You let one go.
You are really.
I'm hot right now.
All right. To back
I'm
up
angry
a little bit, Low versus Dibs, the disgrace at Chase, Wednesday, February 26th. Your chance to win spots in the free throw contest every day this week, 7:45 and 8:45. 10 people are in. We've already got 2 qualified. 8 more spots to come. 8 more spots to come.
This thing took a turn for the.
You just got rocked. I'm thinking about bringing the number
is that
down.
Going back,
no money even came in. He was so convincing there. I'm almost feeling like money's going to come in, and I need to drop that thing. It was open low -3.5. Early money knocked it down to low -2.5. I'm feeling like we might almost be down to low -2. I'm thinking.
You're getting to me now.
All right, let's go back to the phones. A lot of people want to weigh in on
Please.
The Astros cheating scandal. Tom and the Mita. We're going to the Mita,
Mita
first.
Mita,
Tom and the Mita. Tom, welcome to the show. Floor is yours. Fire away.
In my perfect dream scenario, somebody beams Altuve and they get into a team brawl where they do show that somebody on the Astros has a buzzer on their shirt. How does that work for Manfred and MLB for double jeopardy if they prove that they actually were cheating the whole time and their immunity was that they were supposed to tell the truth the whole way, but they end up lying and they got caught lying? So what does MLB do if they gave them immunity, but they did not tell the whole truth?
I would say, and that's a good phone call with a great question, I would say MLB eats it. And it's unfortunate and it's not fair, but if MLB offers immunity, they get what they get and then they move on with their punishments and then they find out something later, you can't come back and take back the immunity because at that point you lose all credibility. Your word will mean nothing moving forward. No one will believe anything you say. So really you would end up just eating it in that scenario. It's unfortunate, but you can't go back and punish him after the fact. Hey, if you tell me the truth, everything will be fine. Then you tell the truth and it's like, yeah, so you're going to be suspended for 25 games. Wait, what? I don't think that's going
to
fly.
Well, unless you had an immunity set up to where it was, you have to tell us the entire truth. And if you found something out later, then I guess you could make the immunity null and void. But you're right, especially as far as the players go. The players would never tell the commissioner anything if you tried to pull the rug out from under them on immunity.
Gene in Oakland. Gene, welcome to the show. We appreciate the phone call. Floor is yours. Fire away.
Yeah, fellas. So, you know, before you can actually move on from a scandal like this, there has to be accountability and remorse, which we've had neither, okay? And if you don't have either, then, it continues or it gets worse. Just look at what's happening nationally to see what I'm talking about. Listen, MLB has given them a get-out-of-jail-free card, so it's going to be up to the fans and the other teams to make these guys pay for what they did. So I want to invite all the A's fans. I want to see 35,000 people out there at least on March 30th, that first game, us against Houston here, and it'll be their first road game. Let's set the standard, all right? Let's bring our placards saying cheaters, and if you possibly can, bring some trash can covers. I want us to be booing the hell out of these guys. Let's make them pay for what they did.
Appreciate the phone call. Thank you very much for weighing in. That's the thought process right now. We're going to call it Bad Tattoo Night.
Bad Tattoo Night.
You show up and find us in the lot, and we see your bad tattoos. Like, I got a terrible tattoo, just a clown show of a tattoo on my arm from back in the day. You got a bad tattoo, that's going to get you a ticket into the game. We're working to put that together, as well as what else in the lot?
We're going to have Throw to Strow. It's going to be a booth where you can throw at an Astro. Throw at a Strow, because the A's may not be able to throw at a Houston Astro and take out their aggression, but A's fans, you can throw at a Strow. We'll set up a little mannequin, a mini-size Altuve mannequin, and you can go ahead and throw at a Strow.
Very nicely done. Daryl the Guru Johnson joining us in studio here at 95.7 The Game. What you hot on? How you doing?
I'm hot on, we got to get rid of the national anthem before a sporting event. Whoa. And poor Shaka Khan, she butchered that.
She was in an impossible spot. Impossible.
What do you mean? Just sing it.
Following Jennifer Hudson.
Oh, say, well, you know what? You might be right. Damn, Dibs.
I mean, honestly,
I'm backing off.
What Jennifer Hudson
got
did,
blown up right away.
Wow.
Jennifer Hudson's like, performance
came out,
was one of the great.
A little bit, okay. Got hooked. He's out of the
so game. Maybe that, you know what? Wow. They got it wrong then. She was in a no-win situation.
Hudson was that good, huh?
Yeah. She was coming from a spot because she had lost people. Yeah. So it was emotional. But oh, I never looked at it from that prism.
It's, well, and honestly,
see, that's what disrespects the country right there. If he's going to do it, at least stand up. See, sitting. Food all over his shirt.
Where are the shirts for the disgrace at Chase?
We're working on them.
Okay, I'm on one.
Their photos were taken earlier. Okay. Ashlock is working on the graphic.
Hey, real quick.
60% of the words are going
to be. I want to redo over. I'm really hot on Manfred.
I don't know if I can believe you now.
He's butchered his job. He has failed his sport. He should just walk off and not show up.
Wow.
He is the worst. And to say, I'm not going to take the trophy because it's just a piece of... Dude, this is getting bad. And then the Astros are talking, and they're making it worse. I heard you this morning, spot on.
Morons.
What's going on?
Every time they talk, they make it worse. Someone go in there and be like, guys, look, none of y'all are all that smart, okay? You're clearly not thinking this through.
Pride.
Please stop talking.
Pride.
You're making it worse.
Guru, pride. They still, because people are talking about them, and they don't want to shut up. Because every time someone talks, they're like, I got to say something, even if I'm wrong. They can't handle it. And that's what's sad.
What I find laughable is these guys aren't going to get hit any more than they would any other time. Because it's going to be so obvious.
What do you think the A's do on the 30th? What do you think about that game? That game's going to be right here. A's management, A's players, and A's fans.
Don't get them out. Retire them. Don't hit them. It's too obvious.
If you don't hit them.
Same church.
If you don't hit them, I'm with you. But I don't ever want to see another guy on earth ever get hit for flipping his bat. Okay? It's done. It's done. You can't let these guys go and say, we're not going to throw at them. We're going to be better than that. And then some guy hits a walk-off home run in the ninth. Big moment for his career. Has a little bit of excitement. Flips his bat. And the next time they face him, they're throwing at this guy's head. Enough with that. If you're going to hold your code, baseball, hold your code all the way around. Stop being so selective. So if you don't want to beat him, the Astros this season, I'm cool with that. I don't want to see any more beanings for bat flips, though.
So I failed at trying to go pro in baseball, and I know how hard it is to hit a baseball. And I'm going to take a survey with Jolo and Dibs. Do you guys look at me right now and say the Astros won the World Series? They went from the last rows to being the Giants because of this cheating? I don't buy it. It helped.
They were
good.
They
got talent, man.
It's like Bonds was good without the allegations of the juice. The juice just, took it to another level, right?
We'll never know if they would have been able to win the World Series without it, because it's a fact that they won it with it. You look at Jose Altuve's home road splits. It's dramatic. Joe had the numbers before. And Carlos Correa, same thing. And Bregman, same thing.
And he's right. Dibs, you're right. And now honestly, Goo, if I sat here and me and you stood up and I said, I'm going to throw a right hand. I'm just going to throw a right hand. Honestly. And I'm saying, I'm letting you know I'm throwing right hand.
Right.
Can you get out of the way?
Yeah. It would help me more than if I didn't know it was coming.
And if I told you, here come the uppercut, and I'm going to show you it's coming, you'd just jump out of the way. The element, now you don't know what I'm throwing? Come on. Now it's harder for you to hit because I can faint one. Now,
well, Joe, how come they haven't won 3 years in a row?
Wilder Fury this weekend.
Why I don't understand for you to think that, Dick. For you to think that, Goo. If I tell you, here's the right hand, and Goo, all you got
to
do is
So what happened the year they lost? They weren't good at cheating? I'm just asking for the masses. Were they half-assing on cheating then?
You got a better chance of getting out of the way.
That I give you.
I promise you. If he faints with the left and he comes with the right,
he'll go to sleep.
They'll get theirs. Okay. They'll get theirs. Right. They're trying to quietly be like, hey, so we don't have Mookie anymore. And it's like, oh, they're going to – wait a minute. You still have all these dudes. Bogarts,
and if you're Cora, what do you do, Joe?
Jackie Bradley.
Who do you call to get a job? What are your buddies?
Does this cost Beltran going in the Hall of Fame? Because he would have been possibly first ballot otherwise.
You can't be in the Hall of Fame if you're this tainted, if you're going to keep the steroid guys out.
Guru,
that's the thing. The steroid guys have to be in.
You standing under the basket.
We're done. It's over. It's over.
And Dallas Guru Johnson, Bonte Hill,
Steinmetz. Coming up next, happy President's Day. We'll see you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.